America has been a blessed nation for many years. The standard of living in our country is second to none. America has historically offered opportunity to everyone willing to work hard and pursue their dreams. Unfortunately, today, those dreams are turning into nightmares. Many people have awakened to the threat that the United States government poses to our way of life. Working tirelessly with the United Nations and other globally minded organizations, our elected officials in Washington, D.C. are enslaving Americans through clandestine legislative and judicial activism. What can be done to stem this rising tide of anti-liberty, progressive Marxist bondage? Stay tuned for my conversation with Debbie Bacigalupi, next on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, Dolores said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for listening to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And, of course, you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. Debbie Bacigalupi is an advocate, an activist, focusing on what Americans need to know and what they need to do concerning various topics, such as Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, cap and trade, sustainable development, property and water rights, and liberty and freedom issues. Debbie has recently joined the staff of Technocracy News and Trends with Patrick Wood and serves as the senior editor of that news organization. Welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, Debbie.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. It's great to be here.
Well, it's an honor for me to have you on the show. I've appreciated your bold stands on the issues that are important to Americans. And I thought we would start this episode, Debbie, with a little bit about yourself, your background. Who is Debbie Bacigalupi?
Well, Debbie Bacigalupi is a proud sixth generation California cattle ranching farming, from a cattle ranching farming family. And I used to work for Google. I'm also a certified medium professional and a certified sommelier, which is I know a little bit about wine, not very much since anymore. I passed the big hard test back quite a few years ago, but then I got heavily involved in the issues that you've already brought up today and have diverted almost 100% of my attention to this agenda before us, which is Agenda 21, the 2030 agenda. And regionalism and all of it ending up in what is called technocracy or a scientific dictatorship.
So
I stumbled upon Agenda 21 because my parents, as full-time cattle ranchers, have been experiencing in California, just the onslaught of all kinds of regulations or potential regulations, whether it was the Clean Water Act or something called under the endangered species called the incidental take permit, where if they find fish, they being the government, mostly an unelected, self-appointed bureaucracy like the BLM or the Fish and Game,
yes, yes. You know,
some kind of government agency who seems to have usurped the supreme law of the land and is doing their own thing. So we just start. So the ITP, the incidental take permit, would charge you $25,000 per fish per endangered species if it were found, if they found a dead fish on your property, which means that they can, you know, trespass anytime they want.
Yeah.
So we just saw all this, you know, like for the first time, we in America, we felt like government was on our back and not on our side.
Yeah.
I ran for Congress in 2012, U.S. House of Representatives here in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is where I have my home. And although my parents' ranch is just below the Oregon border, it's spectacular. It's beautiful. They are just tremendous stewards of the land. And when I ran for Congress in 2012, I also went to the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, Rio Plus 20, the 20-year anniversary of Agenda 21 of sustainable development. And from there, I just kept going to conferences and being a part of meetings, and whether it's on wolves or water or endangered species or the United Nations Agenda 21 blueprint, and paying my own way, Pastor Mike, which I think is, you know, it's tough to do these conferences, you know, these people, it seems like, I don't know if you'd agree, but it seems like these people who are out to destroy our individual liberties get paid to do so.
Yes.
And then there's people like us who pay our own money, our own way, to find out what truly their agenda is, which is not in favor of individual freedom and liberty.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that completely. So you you come from, and did I read that you're a fifth generation?
Well, we're sixth.
Sixth, okay.
Yeah, so pretty proud of that, yes.
Yeah. So your family has some experience, unfortunately, with government agencies such as the EPA, and you mentioned the BLM. For our listeners, that's the Bureau of Land Management. And other government entities, and what you alluded to, Debbie, and I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit, is that these agencies, they are staffed by appointees, and they are ruling by fiat power. They're not these laws haven't been passed; they're just regulations and rules that they've implemented, and so they're kind of forcing themselves into the lives of honest, hardworking Americans, aren't they?
Yeah, oh, for sure. We're just seeing the ruin of mom and pops and small farms and ranches.
Yeah.
We can't keep up with the regulations, the fees. And so we don't have to deal as much with the Bureau of Land Management because we are private property. Mm-hmm. And we do not use public lands at all.
All right.
So, but we have friends, we hear about, you know, like the Lavois, who have to deal with the BLM, and their experience is getting worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Why is our government, when and where did providing food and all the thousands and thousands of byproducts that come from livestock, whether it's asphalt or the tires on your bicycle, the insulation in your home, the sheetrock that your home is built with, the medical devices that people use, like many diabetics can't use synthetic medicines. They have to have the real thing that comes from cattle when it comes to, you know, their own survival, you know, surviving as a diabetic.
Yeah.
All these things, paint, candles, shampoo, creams, makeup, all these different things people use day in and day out, whether you're vegan or not. You cannot be I always say you can't be a vegan in modern day society. It's just impossible.
Right.
But here you have this wonderful animal that God created, the cow, right? That turns grass into protein.
Mm.
And then we turn that into cheese, and we turn it into cakes, and we turn it into, you know, amazing recipes and desserts all across the world. And also an animal God created that gives us warmth, you know, leather coats and sturdy shoes to wear around and backpacks to carry things in. And, you know, besides the asphalt and the tires I mentioned.
Right.
And yet, how did we become in the 21st century? We cattle ranchers, our cow, our livestock, become like a targeted enemy of government agencies and groups, non-government organizations like, you know, Sierra Club, Earth First, all these high-powered Environmental Defense Fund, National Resource Defense Council, all these well-funded, we're talking millions, defenders of wildlife, we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars year over year, high salaries, high salaries.
Yeah.
When did we become the enemy of the 21st century? It's beyond me, Pastor Mike.
Yeah. It's really evident, or evidence, I could say, of a very successful propaganda campaign for those who are trying to fundamentally change not just America. This extends beyond America, but they've taken aim at America first.
Yes.
And I think the reason for that is, If America falls, if they can bring America under the yoke, then everyone else is going to be like dominoes.
I agree. And I like to say that America was born to win. We were.
Yeah.
We fled tyrannical rule. And we are the only country that acknowledges individual rights. And individual rights that are based on founded on your creator.
Yes.
You know, God still exists in, I think, the majority. I think there's only one state, and I think it's Oregon, that doesn't have God in its state constitution. California's constitution talks about our liberties and that were given to us by who? Almighty God.
Wow. So even California.
Yes, even crazy California that's leading the way on this radical environmental movement. If you think about it, California is the only state with a cap and trade scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I just read today that California's governor and Benjamin Netanyahu in 2014 created an agreement to based on Agenda 21 policies, although it doesn't come out and say Agenda 21, but created an agreement on our resources. So we've also created an agreement with Quebec when it comes to trading for cap and trade systems. So here you have a state, which the state is not allowed to do this. A state who is making international contracts.
Yeah, right.
That is not what the states are supposed to be doing.
Right.
The states are supposed to be protecting those people who live within the state. It's up to the federal government for international trade and not the states.
Yeah.
So we're seeing the flip of, but you know what that's all about, Pastor Mike, is creating regions where there are 11 regions in the 21st century, America2050.org, for anyone who wants to check out this website, America2050.org, and go to the maps and you will see the regional map for the year 2050, you will see that the United States is split into 11 regions. When you look at the borders on Canada and the United States and the United States and Mexico, you will see that these regions overlap into Canada to the north, Mexico to the south, like the Southern California region overlaps into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the dissolving of borders, the sharing of resources, and the creating of a world government system.
Wow. Yeah, now that may be shocking to some people. I'm glad you gave them the website, Debbie. Now, one reason, when we're talking about Agenda 21, one reason that people don't know about Agenda 21 and the goals, some of which you've already mentioned and many of which we'll discuss in our conversation tonight. But one of the reasons that they don't know about 21 and its goal of implementing what is referred to as sustainable development is because the foundations of this new world system that's being envisioned by the global utopians among us is buried very deep in UN documents. And the vast majority of people, they don't know these things exist. They've never heard about these UN documents, not to mention they've never read them. So how did you find out? I mean, how did you know where to go to find the information that you now go out and speak about?
I believe that I am being directed by God. I know that
awesome.
May sound, I hope that doesn't sound crazy.
Doesn't to me.
Because Pastor Mike, I don't know what wakes me up every morning to not get paid for what I do, to do massive research. I have a library of just books that I would say are not biblical books. They are the exact opposite. I think the Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, said another way. I've often described it as taking the Bible and flipping it on its head.
Yeah.
One example is that the United Nations at its first Rio Earth Summit, and then a couple years later, don't quote me on that. Most of my stuff I know for a fact, but oftentimes I don't talk about things I've talked about initially when I first started doing research.
Yeah.
There was the Ark of the Covenant that, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the Ark of the Hope. Mm-hmm. So the Ark of Hope, which is the United Nations version, right?
Yep.
You look at the dimensions of the chest, and they're very similar mm-hmm. to the dimensions mentioned, you know, with Moses. And what they did is they carried the Earth Charter in this chest.
Yeah.
And so eerily matching what happened in the Bible.
Yes.
But the Earth Charter is not about, you know, the Ten Commandments. It's about creating new commandments for the 21st century.
Yes.
And so on. Outside of this chest, it is decorated with Buddhist type, graphics about animals and worshiping the earth and worshiping Mother Nature.
That's right.
And other parts of Agenda 21, so there's that. Other parts of the of Agenda 21, especially noted in the United Nations Environment Program, what they call the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. It's a book that I've read painstakingly for hours, and things in this document, it was from the 2000 United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity, which the United States signed on to, soft law. We gave millions and millions and millions and 50 million plus taxpayer dollars to the United Nations for this, to protect forests, to create unity when it comes to saving planet Earth, saving Mother Earth, saving Gaia. And in there, it discusses how the world's population, the Earth is overpopulated, and the Earth, a proper population based on an agrarian lifestyle, based on rice, based on eating vegetables, based on living like the Asians do, would be 5 to 7 billion people. But if people were to live like we do in North America, the Earth can only handle 1.5 billion people. I think these people are trying to play God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've often likened Agenda 21, Debbie, to a fulfillment of Nimrod's wishes at the Tower of Babel. Remember, he was trying to bring everything under his control. And that's exactly what the globalists are trying to do, right down to what you just said. They're trying to wipe out about 3/4 of the world's population. They've got it in their head that that's the only way that the Earth is going to survive.
That's right. And there's a TED Talk of Bill Gates talking about the perfect formula for how to depopulate the Earth. And he says that of all these formulas, of all these like people being part of the formula, he said, oh, we can only control one. people, the population.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say that he believes in vaccinations.
Yes.
So does the United Nations. And I have a children's book that's called Rescue Mission Planet Earth, a children's edition of Agenda 21. And it's by the United Nations, but even groups like Girl Scouts of America and Boy Scouts of America were part of this book, and they still are. In fact, when I went to the Paris conference just in December of 2015, so just a few months ago, who was there but the Girl Scouts of America in a talk about how, for youth, about how we need to move into a putting a price on carbon. So what's putting a price on carbon? In other words, a global tax on carbon. The first time there would be a global tax on something. And why carbon? Because carbon is found in everything. But this book called Rescue Mission Planet Earth, it has in the front, it quotes Al Gore. In fact, what Al Gore said was, as chairman of the Space Subcommittee in the Senate, I strongly urge the establishment of a mission to planet Earth, a worldwide monitoring system staffed by children designed to rescue the global environment. So in this document, wow, this book, it also goes on to say, Pastor Mike, under the population bomb chapter, it goes on to say, quote, the planet groans, and for Christians out there, they should be outraged by this.
Mm-hmm.
The planet groans every time it registers another birth. And then on the opposite side of that quote, you see all these storks carrying babies in the sky. And there's God on the cloud with Adam and Eve, and Adam has his numbers going 5, 2. He's counting all the babies. And Eve is looking down, and she's like, oh, no. And God is completely perplexed. He's like scratching his head, like, what do we do with all these kids? This book goes on to say, so what I was going to get to, this book also talks about vaccinations and how by the year 2000, the United Nations felt that over 80% of their, it might be 90%, a high number, in other words, of the world's population, children, should be vaccinated, 90%. So the target was reached at the end of 1990. The target now is to get immunization to 90% of children under one year, so babies, to be vaccinated. And what do we see happening all across the United States, especially here in California? Law mandating that, yes, in order for children to go to school, they're vaccinated. They're even vaccinated with sexually transmitted disease vaccines under the age of 1. What is that doing to, you know, the makeup, the makeup of our bodies, how our bodies handle it? You know, it's people playing God.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah.
This book also goes on to say there's a lot. And remember, this is a children's book. There's a lot in Agenda 21 about women playing a critical role in population. But aren't men usually the problem, is the question? Here's the answer by the United Nations Population Fund. Yes, there's a lot of male authority, but not much male responsibility in relation to childbearing. Okay, listen to this. Men are not burdened with the problem of giving birth. They tend to exploit children, sending them to work instead of investing in their education. What can children do? They should challenge their parents not to have any more children until they can look after them properly.
Wow. My goodness. Woo. I think that sounds like that was written from a very radical, man-hating feminist perspective.
Can you believe that?
This information is being force-fed, if you will, to our children through the public school education system.
Right.
Yeah. Debbie, you mentioned the UN document on biological diversity. Now, one of the things that that document does is it defines what sustainable development is. It gives a definition, then it gives some ideas It gives some direction as to what needs to be eliminated from our culture, because it's not, these things aren't sustainable. And I'm talking about things like golf courses and shopping centers.
Yep, scuba diving.
Scuba diving.
Fences, paddocks, livestock, religion, Judeo-Christian religion.
Judeo-Christian religion, yeah.
Dams, anything that serves human needs. Yeah. Roads, power lines, buildings. Yeah.
Yeah.
All unsustainable in the 21st century.
Yeah, so they just want to take us back to a place and time of about 1.5 billion people across the globe, and do away with all of these what they consider to be extravagant luxuries, all in the name of sustaining Mother Gaia.
Right.
Yeah, that's just insane. Now,
but the books that I have, so this is called the Global Biodiversity Assessment by the United Nations Environment Program, in other words, UNEP. These books, including the children's book, Rescue Mission Planet Earth, A Children's Guide to Agenda 21, I got on Amazon.com, and they are available.
Wow. That is, I'm going to have to get a copy of that. Rescue Mission Planet Earth. And I'll bet you, if parents out there that are listening, you might want to check with your school, if you have a way to check with the school library and see if this book is in there, Rescue Mission Planet Earth, because clearly that is nothing but a globalist utopian propaganda tool that they're force feeding your children, and you probably don't even know that.
I've had friends who have said, you know what, we should start donating these books to children's libraries and say, this is what the United Nations is all about.
Yeah.
So you want this to be, you know.
Expose it.
Yeah, expose it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, is there a relationship between those two, Debbie?
Absolutely. So it's Agenda 21, and they flip the name for the 2030 agenda. So Agenda 21 and 2030 agenda.
Mm-hmm.
There is a relation. If one of your listeners goes to, look, these are the search terms to put in the internet, agenda or 2030 agenda fact sheet, White House fact sheet, and you will find that the Obama administration, he talks about, it was a press release by the Obama administration. And it was back in September, because that's when, remember in September when the Pope was here?
Yes.
He was in New York City.
Yep.
Where was he? At the United Nations headquarters, along with is it the president of China named Xi? I don't know. Do you call the president or prime minister? But yep. Then you had Putin here. You had all these leaders from around the world gathering at the United Nations headquarters in September of 2015, September 25th through 27th. A couple things happened. Loretta Lynch, who is the Attorney General for the United States, signed a memorandum of understanding, an agreement with the United Nations to create a global police force called Strong Cities Network. So I invite people to look that up. Then the next thing that happened was the agreement to the 2030 agenda, which began January 1st, 2016. The 2030 agenda is carrying on the Millennium Development Goals of Agenda 21. They call them Millennium Development Goals, which the Millennium Development Goals expired in 2015. So to continue the goals and create more goals and more egregious goals, they extended these Millennium Development Goals, renamed them, and they have been doing this for a little while, Sustainable Development Goals, and stepped it up to the year 2030. In other words, they made a stronger push to implement sustainable development in our daily lives. And the goal is, for many of these things, and there's 17 goals, like ending poverty. But how can you end poverty? You cannot force people out of poverty. There are people who are homeless on the street who have every opportunity to make it in America, but they choose to be impoverished. You cannot force people out of poverty. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that it is our responsibility to cure the problem of poverty. Does it say it anywhere in the Bible?
No, we are to feed and help the poor as we find opportunity to do that, but we're to do that within a context of enabling them to take care of themselves, not to keep them in the bondage of poverty.
Right. So the goal, and here, so this is where it goes one step further. To end poverty in all its dimensions through policy.
Wow.
Policy.
Yeah. Well, listen, we, as Americans, we know since this great experiment, this war on poverty started, I believe, all the way back in Lyndon Johnson's administration, we've thrown trillions of dollars at this so-called war on poverty, and it's only exacerbated the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so here's some other 2030 agenda goals. So there's 17 goals, no poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, gender equality, meaning, you know, transgender bathrooms, which to me is extraordinary that we imagine the young girls who are just, you know, going through puberty. They are going through that, for most of us, that embarrassing time of getting our, you know, menstrual cycle, and now having to share a bathroom
mm-hmm.
with some man who says, I feel like I'm a girl today.
Yeah.
That to me, Pastor Mike, is extraordinary. It's sickening.
It's evil.
It's frightening. It's evil.
Yeah.
So there's that, gender equality, clean water and sanitation. I mean, some of these things sound harmless and good, right?
Yeah.
Affordable and clean energy. But when you find out that affordable and clean energy is the majority of it is solar and wind,
right,
which is intermittent and unreliable. And oh, by the way, we're not finding out that it's cheap. We're finding out that only the rich, like in Germany, who's been the test pilot for this, and California, of course, that Germany is, you know, it's only the rich are being able to afford this, you know, wind energy.
Well,
I
just read the other day, Debbie, you probably saw the article too. It was maybe a week, 10 days ago. The largest solar power company in the world went bankrupt.
That's right. And you can go to technocracy.news and see the write-up that Patrick Wood did on the, you know, the failing of that solar company.
Yeah.
And he's gotten, you know, just rave reviews on his assessment of what happened. But exactly right. Well, then in California, we had Solyndra, and all these companies are getting grants, government grants by taxpayers.
Yeah.
As this failed experiment continues to unfold. And yet you would think that our policymakers and our politicians would see that these things are failing, but they're continuing on.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying we must back it. By the way, dams are not considered renewable energy, even though they are clean, green, renewable energy dams. And we use the water over and over again for things like irrigation, drought control, flood control, recreation, feeding ecosystems, all sorts of things, you know, when it comes to dams. And what's also happening in California, not to jump around all over the place, but this is part of the 2030 agenda, is by the year 2020, so that's less than 4 years from now, by the year 2020, the goal is to protect and restore. Protect and restore water related ecosystems, including mountains, forests, wetlands, rivers, aquifers, and lakes. That's everything.
What does that even mean, Debbie? Restore.
Restore, it means for rivers, for example, that dams must be removed.
Oh my goodness.
The majority of dams. In fact, Trilateral Commission and former Department of Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt. He was also President Clinton's, he was also appointed to President Clinton's President's Council on Sustainable Development, said back in 2013 that there were 75, under the Obama administration, this is an exact quote, but I said it enough that it's pretty darn close, that under the Obama administration, for the first time, funding is now underway to remove dams. They had, and at that point, they had finally gotten, after, you know, many, many years, the Elwha Dam removed or destroyed, however you want to look at it. It is destruction in the state of Washington, in Olympic Park. They've been trying to rewild Olympic Park, and that was an instrumental step, is to get rid of that dam, which behind that dam were beautiful lakes of thousands and thousands and thousands of birds. And so to destroy those dams, they sent all the sediment out to sea. And, but the goal is to straighten rivers, to let rivers run, or not straighten, to let rivers run wild.
Wow.
And this takes us to the Klamath River dams. The Department of Interior just announced that, and that's where my parents' ranch is in the Klamath River Basin. The Department of Interior just made a sweeping announcement that they were going to remove, or it's really destruction, because they will breach. We don't have enough money to properly remove 4+ dams. And so they call it restore. So when you, your question was, what does restore mean?
Yeah.
So when you destroy these dams, you're going to have to take out, you know, in this case, in, on the Klamath River, over 20 million cubic yards of pollutants, of silt, of sludge, of, that's going to, you know, ooze its way 187 plus miles out to sea. Why? Because they want to save the coho salmon that you can buy in Whole Foods for $8.99 a pound. You can go to Alaska and fish the heck out of coho salmon, and there's still going to be massive more. So they're basing this on a fish that is, that, that they have yet to determine if that fish is native to the Klamath River, river system. And then the National Geographic would tell you that the Klamath River is a reverse system. What's a reverse system? Well, most rivers start in high mountains where the water is clean and cold and fresh right out of the mountain. And then the closer it gets to the ocean, the less the water quality. But this river is the exact opposite, as the National Geographic admits. So the beginning of this river, of the Klamath River system, is low water, warm, shallowish lakes that are full of algae, full of blue-green algae, full of rich in phosphorus, because this is a very highly volcanic area. And the fish don't want to live in that. They want to live closer to the mouth of the river, because that's where the cleanest, coldest water coming out of Trinity is coming out. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter, Pastor Mike. This is not about common sense. It's not about, you know, true science. It's about a science, it's about scientific dictatorship, but not based on scientific facts.
Right. Based on it, based on a utopian dream.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So let's connect the dots here for our listeners. The Obama administration and the renegade EPA has almost, not quite, there's still a faint heartbeat, but they've almost destroyed our coal industry, our domestic coal industry here in America, by removing as many dams as possible, which, by the way, also generate electricity.
Yep.
Can you hear the ching, ching, ching of our electric bills going up all over America, while at the same time they're throwing millions, if not billions of dollars at a technology, at an industry that continues to fail and cannot provide the energy that America needs to continue to grow and prosper? When we consider all of these things, Debbie, you cannot avoid the conclusion that this is intentional, the intentional destruction of America.
Yes. Yes. I believe where we're heading is not a country of being independent, but being a country full of dependence.
Yes.
depend, but you know what? This is nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun.
True.
You know,
true.
Human nature doesn't change. History doesn't change. History repeats itself. But I think the lesson should be, you know, history is going to repeat itself, but be sure to know history so that you do not repeat its mistakes.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, and government does what government has always done, which is to grow and to gain more power.
Yeah.
And to grow and to take more power. That's what government does. Mm-hmm. And we're letting them do it. And I think part of the problem that we have, you know, we're responsible for this. Yeah. We're not victims. We are responsible. And that's the tough part.
Yeah.
I, for example, you know, just in the last several years have gotten closer to God, one thing. And the reason, here's where I'm grateful for, as crazy as this sounds, here's where I'm grateful for this agenda that I would say is just pure evil. Is because if I didn't recognize it as being pure evil, I don't think I would understand the power of good versus evil.
Yeah.
That this is a black and white issue and it's biblical.
Yeah.
And it was many and you know, forecasted.
Yeah.
So if we knew the Bible and if we knew the way we should, and if we knew our history, the long legacy of 700 years of tyrannical rule, of monarchies, of kings, of British, you know, the oppression of the British government on its people.
Yes.
And the fact that we fled that over 700 years of history from the Magna Carta to the 1628 Charters of Liberties to, you know, there's five main documents that our founding fathers used. They didn't just come up with the supreme law of the land just out of the blue. No, they studied history. They studied the mistakes. They studied what would free people and give people liberty. And also base it on Judeo-Christian philosophy, Judeo-Christian beliefs.
Yes.
That we are that experiment. Over a 200-year experiment, can man rule himself? And I would say this is our judgment day in that.
Yeah.
We are either going to stand as Americans. You can do anything you want, you know, with your moral compass.
Yep.
With, you know, your protected rights under the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, or you're going to sit and do nothing and simply be an American.
Yeah.
Where you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't build this, you can't have that kind of car, you can't have this kind of animal or farm. And so I think that we are responsible. We've been complacent. We do not understand our history. How many times do we hear in a day? I just heard the Obama speak the other night on Saturday night at the White House's press conference dinner. He said that we are a democracy five times.
Yeah. Yep.
He scoffed at us being a republic and assured the audience that we are a democracy. And the only difference between a democracy and a monarchy is how many people rule over you.
Yeah.
Well, that was not the idea, Pastor Mike, of the United States.
That's correct.
The United States was, can man rule himself, your individual rights and liberties, based on your God-given rights?
Yes.
Because man can give you your rights. Man can do what?
Take them away, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is what makes the United States of America so unique.
Yeah. And that was why our founding fathers put so much thought and effort and debate into the Constitution and especially into the Bill of Rights. And I think one of the reasons, Debbie, and I know you're well-versed in this and can give us some background, but I think one of the reasons that Americans are so complacent, generally speaking, now I know there are folks like you, Patrick, and others who are standing up. In fact, this might be a good time to mention this. Is there some place where listeners can connect with you, Debbie? Do you have a website?
Yes, they can go to technocracy.news.
Technocracy.news.
I heard this over the weekend, that only 50% of the Christians are going out to vote.
Wow.
And that is extraordinary.
That's sad.
There's this thing called separation of church and state. It's not separation of church from the state. It's from the state to the church, meaning the state can't dictate what goes on in the church, but the church should fully be involved in the government.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's my heartburn with that figure. And there's no doubt that that's accurate, Debbie. But when 50% of Americans or Christians, the church, choose to vote, I don't want to hear anybody belly aching when the secular side imposes that false idea about separation of church and state. If you're not going to engage yourself in the civic process, brothers and sisters, and take advantage of the opportunity to elect your leaders, and I get the lesser of two evils and all these arguments about, well, nobody will, I get all of that. But you've got no business complaining if you refuse to vote. So there's my preaching for this episode.
I went to a church. I spoke in Ramona. By the way, Patrick and I speak all over the country. So if you're, and I'm coming to Ohio, I think in August, as I mentioned to you earlier, Pastor Mike.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll be able to give you that information so you could share with your listeners and yes. the people in Ohio.
Yeah.
And I went to a church not too long ago. I spoke in Ramona, California, near San Diego. And I went to church on, I spoke on Saturday and went to a church on Sunday. And I am not kidding. I am not, this is no joke. In the first 10 minutes, we were praying to the solar panels that were put on the church, given to the church by a government grant.
Oh my heavens.
I am not, I kid you not.
I would have probably tripped over myself trying to run as fast as I could out of that place.
Oh my gosh, I started taking notes the whole time.
Oh my heavens.
Talking, and I was going to go up and talk to the pastor after that. And I saw a gentleman, people say, I'm going to say, insert this here. People say, Debbie, what do I do? This is like, all this information is like drinking from a fire hose. I
yeah.
feel paralyzed. The worst thing people can do is not do anything.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing. In fact, doing nothing is doing something.
That's
and
right.
it's not in our favor.
Right.
Let me tell you, it is not in our favor.
Right.
So I was taking notes in order to have a conversation with the pastor. And I'm scared to death, by the way. I don't like these kind of, I don't like to confront people, but you know what? I'd rather confront than walk away with my tail between my legs going,
yeah.
darn it, Debbie, I should have said something. It was my Christian responsibility to say something.
Right.
So anyway, I see this guy in front of me in the pew in front of me shaking his head, in the seat in front of me shaking his head. And so I assume during this presentation, it was a full-on presentation on how the church accepted this federal grant and how we're so grateful for those solar panels. And in 7 years, the solar panels will be paid off and then the church will be start to save money. I mean, are you kidding me?
Oh my
Obviously,
goodness.
It was a 501c3 church, by the way,
yeah.
which means that you're giving up your church, your church over to the federal government. So in other words, you're owned.
Mm-hmm.
And you must, jump through hoops in order to get your money, federal hoops. So anyway, I see this guy shaking his head. And so after the church service, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, so I saw you shaking your head during the solar panel worshiping. And he said, I'm just like dumbfounded that we are spending so much money. And so I brought up my issues with him. And he said, oh, my God. And I brought up Agenda 21. I said, and he had never heard of it. And he said, so I'm not from the area. And I said, I invite you to talk to your pastor about this.
Yeah.
And he said, I am going to. I said, I don't know him, but and I think it'd be more effective as if a church member goes up and talks to the pastor
mm-hmm.
about that whole we are bowing our heads to the God of technology.
Yes.
That is what we are doing.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
and this goes back to Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do to create the Tower of Babel? They used advanced technology,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So that they could build this. And that's what we're doing. We are going around with our smartphones, with all this advanced technology, but with our smartphones especially, bowing our heads to the God of technology.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason that folks are not aware of this, and I have to acknowledge the fact that the globalists and the utopians that are driving this evil, I have to acknowledge the fact that they've utilized a masterful strategy, and that is to go very slow, very carefully, very clandestine, and they've taken almost 50 years now to get to the point that this is not something new. This goes all the way back into the early 1970s, and if I'm mistaken, correct me, Debbie, but I think this whole idea of Agenda 21 and sustainable development and changing radically the population of the Earth, and I think that goes back all the way to the Club of Rome, doesn't it?
It does, and in fact, it even goes before that, but the Club of Rome, to get on the Club of Rome, a very, a globalist elite group, back in the 1970s, they had claimed that, in fact, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, that big book that talks about golf courses and scuba diving being unsustainable, that book quotes the Club of Rome as saying that in the early 21st century, which we're already in and we're already kind of through, that because of human consumption and the impact that human beings would have on Mother Earth, planet Earth, it doesn't say that, but on the planet, on Earth, that there would be catastrophic human deaths globally. Well, sounds like a big old scare tactic.
It sure does.
Scare tactic, if you ask me.
Yeah, and they missed, didn't they?
They did. And you know what? We're seeing that today with climate change. You know, they say, oh, the science is settled. And now they're even adding to that. So not only is the science settled, so in other words, be quiet. You know, rest your pretty little heads. Mm-hmm. The science is settled. You don't need to debate us because the science is settled. And now they're saying, well, if you're a climate change denier, you can go to jail.
See,
to that point.
That's exactly right, Debbie. And that is my rebuttal to folks who try to say that, well, science says, and well, first of all, science didn't say anything. Scientists say things, but scientists are giving their philosophy of science. They're not talking science. It's philosophy, but that's a whole other point. But now anyone who denies the so-called settled science are being threatened with prosecution. Now, if the science was settled and the facts were easily accessible and were real, you wouldn't need to prosecute or threaten people, would you?
No, absolutely not. Well, and then also, I went to the United Nations the United Nations International Panel on Climate Change and the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change held its COP21 conference of parties, meeting number 21, just recently in Paris, where they agreed upon. They agreed upon maintaining the Earth's temperature by 1.5 degrees Celsius. So within 1.5 degrees, I think it translates to 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, but it's definitely 1.5 degrees Celsius. That means that 1.5, so globally, we must maintain the Earth's temperature by 1.5 degrees Celsius. That is nothing. So how do you do that? And by the way, at April 22nd was the beginning of the Paris Accord from that Paris conference I was just at. The signing will go, so April 22nd is Vladimir Lenin's birthday. One can look up on Wikipedia the original Earth Day, which was somewhere in March, but they changed it to April 22nd. And it just so happens to be on communist, socialist, radical environmentalist Vladimir Lenin's birthday.
Pure coincidence.
So until April 21st, 2017, there is that full year, and they go to the United Nations headquarters in New York City, Rockefellers, by the way, Rockefeller family, and sign. So countries will have the next year to go and sign the Paris Accord, which agrees to 1.5 degrees Celsius, maintaining the world's temperature. A couple other things, is that developed countries must help developing countries pay for sustainable development. How do we maintain the Earth's temperature by 1.5 degrees Celsius? Of course, by living a sustainable development lifestyle.
Yes. Yes. And preventing third world nations who are trying to pull themselves out of poverty by building electrical distribution plants and things of that nature, stopping that, because that contributes to carbon emissions. And so really, these folks are actually imprisoning third world nations in their poverty.
Yes, that's absolutely true. When I was at the Paris conference, I had the awesome opportunity to interview some of those climate denier scientists, you know, the ones that Al Gore will not debate.
Yeah.
Won't debate them. None of them will debate them. In fact, some of them, like Dr. Gérandu, was hired by the United Nations to review the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, some of their reports. But when his studies didn't match the United Nations, they discarded his studies.
Yeah.
So he was there to tell people, look, you hired me to be an objective scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this great interview with him where I asked him, Dr. Gérandu, is renewable energy, does it get people out of poverty? And he quickly answers, no, it does exactly the opposite.
Yes, that's right.
It's intermittent. It's unreliable.
Yes.
And yet the two forms of energy that they're trying to push us into, again, are solar and wind.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, so I asked him, you know, this is an attack on carbon dioxide. We breathe carbon dioxide. The plants need carbon dioxide. Life is carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
You know, people give, remember when we used to give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
Yes.
If carbon dioxide is such a dangerous poison, wouldn't we have been killing people? Filling someone's lungs with so much carbon dioxide?
Yeah. You know? Never thought of that.
So anyway, I asked him, I said, you know, is carbon dioxide that bad? And he said, no, we need more carbon dioxide.
Yes.
The world thrives on carbon dioxide.
It's plant
and
food.
And this past global warming, he said, no, it's insignificant. We have global warming and global cooling. And he said, and you see the rise of carbon dioxide, but you don't see the rise in temperature that they want to tell you that it is. So what they used, what the United Nations used, is what they call the hockey stick.
Yeah.
It was a short amount of time. I'm not going to go into the years. I remember 60 years is coming up for me, but I think that was Dr. Gérandu's study was 60 years, and they didn't look at the full 60 years. They only looked at a few years. The United Nations only looked at a few years, and where there was a blip in, you know, where there was a correlation, or they could correlate the rise in CO2 with the rise in temperature at that very second in time, or that very short amount of time. But if you look at the overall graph, you see that there is no correlation between the amount of carbon dioxide and the rise of temperature. Yeah. But, you know, we have a public that doesn't want to, or doesn't make time to, or is too busy to, or doesn't care, or, you know, or hasn't been heard enough yet by these global policies that we're seeing on ranches and farms now. And so they just don't want to look at these facts. But that's what we need, is people to wake up, people to, you know, I don't want people to hurt. But if it's going to take people hurting in order to get people hurting, you know, hurting, like moving, like you would a cow. I just made that up. Hurting and hurting. I like it. Then, you know what? Then I hope that we do see some times where there's just going to be this, you know, if it's not through divine intervention, this massive awakening where people are like shaking their head, scratching their head like God was in the clouds with all those storks in that Agenda 21 children's book, just going, okay, something is not right here. Something's not making sense.
Yes.
Why am I having now to pay for, or why are we moving into a cashless society?
Yeah.
Where, you know, if I breathe, I've got to pay, and yet I can't even see my breath. But somehow, according to Agenda 21, every human action has an environmental impact. Every human action.
It's just insane.
Blinking.
Yes.
Being alive has an impact. And under Agenda 21, it goes on to say that at every decision level, individual and collective decision-making level, that we must mitigate, offset every human action because it's having an environmental impact. Mm-hmm. Folks, this means every aspect of your lives, controlled, monitored, surveilled.
That's right. Yeah. And for Americans, this should send a shudder down your spine. They're coming after your cars.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the year 2020, this is part of the 2030 agenda. By the year 2020, it says, I'll give it to you specifically. Hold on, finding it. Where is that?
Well, I know one of the things that the United States has already signed off on and agreed to, and now they're pressuring corporations to get in line, is something called the Montreal Pledge.
Yes.
And basically, what is that, Debbie?
Well, it's to replace the Kyoto Protocol. Uh-huh. And the Montreal Pledge is agreeing, again, to the Sustainable Development Goals. By the way, I just found it. By the year 2020, you said, get us out of our cars. You're not kidding. I know it sounds unreal, but you look at the push now for autonomous cars.
Yep.
Not driven by human beings, but driven by artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. By the year 2020, this is target 3.6 of the 2030 agenda, White House fact sheet, agenda 2030 agenda. Target 3.6 by 2020 have the number of global deaths and injuries from road traffic accidents. The autonomous cars, the driverless cars, are to be more smart than human beings. I'm not kidding. Before this call, I was listening to a global conference that's happening live right now. And the topic was, and it's happening in LA. I don't have the link right in front of me. But it's happening in Los Angeles right this very second. And the last topic was artificial intelligence, friend or foe. It's the Milken, M-I-L-K-E-N, Institute.
Yes.
Milken Institute, you can see live streaming right now. And if this is, you know, if you're not listening to this for a couple days down the road, you can still go back and see some of the live-streamed archived events, including this one. And what they were just talking about, Pastor Mike, was how they are going to, exact words, have the number of traffic accidents with autonomous cars, driverless cars. The example they used was, okay, I need to go to the airport. Car, drive me to the airport. What did the car respond? No, it's too dangerous. This is the example that they use.
And that's artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence. That is scientific dictatorship. That is what Patrick Wood, and you go to technocracy.news, and you're going to see a lot of our articles that are about moving into this robotic age where robots are outthinking human beings and replacing human being jobs.
Yes.
And using artificial intelligence to control, monitor, surveil your smart car, your smart refrigerator that's going to be doing ordering for you. And you could send a smart car to go to the grocery store to get your food.
Yeah.
We are moving into the Jetsons. It's a scientific dictatorship is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
So Montreal Pledge just builds on the Sustainable Development Goals, but it goes into, companies like, or organizations like Harvard, CalPERS, which is California, it's the retirement, public retirement system. So yes, in other words, when you retire. So all these retirement systems throughout the United States, AFL-CIO, the New York retirement system, all signed what is called the United Nations Principles for Responsible Investing. Many of them were in Montreal to sign the Montreal Pledge. What it does is it tasks these portfolio companies, these investors, from divesting from what? Fossil fuel, and methane.
Wow.
So how do you look at that? Look at all the byproducts that come from fossil fuel or petroleum.
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody's pacemaker right now was made from petroleum.
Yeah, that's right.
Nylons, baby pacifiers, aspirin, you know, practically between livestock byproducts and fossil fuel petroleum byproducts, everything we touch is brought to us by those two things.
Yeah.
Because it's either flown in or driven in or created by, you know, one of those products, or if not both. So if we're going to have to start divesting, imagine the manufacturing impact it's going to have on organizations, companies that use fossil fuel and livestock byproducts to create products for us to use every single day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're going to be losing money. They're going to be forced to change their manufacturing ways to be more sustainable, which livestock is unsustainable. Fossil fuel is unsustainable in the 21st century. The impact is going to be on the poor. It's going to be on you and me, you know, not necessarily poor, but compared to the rich, we are not rich. And what's going to happen is, in my opinion, is we're going to see an economic model where there's going to be the haves and the have-nots.
Correct.
Those people like Al Gore, the Obamas, the Bushes, you know, the global elite, they will be able to afford to offset their carbon footprint, anywhere they travel, anything they purchase. But you and I, under this new international economic order, in other words, sustainable development, in other words, technocracy, we're going to be limited. And that's what the Club of Rome came up with, is a document called Limits to Growth.
Yes. And every U.S. president, I want to point this out just so folks don't think we're necessarily picking on President Obama. We could pick on him for a lot of things beyond just our discussion tonight, for sure. But every president since the 70s has put their stamp on this increasing regulation and the UN plans on developing Agenda 21. It got past Nixon. It got past President Reagan. It got past Clinton. It got past the Bushes. And now Obama is its advocate. So there's a lot of bloody hands involved in this.
Yes.
So one thing that that folks can do, Debbie, is to really adopt your philosophy, and that is to keep speaking out. Don't stop. Don't shut up. Basically, wherever they live, in their communities and the organizations they belong to, in their workplaces, among their peers, their families, their friends, certainly in your churches. And I'm just going to say this again, and I don't mean to rattle anybody's cage, but if you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, and you attend a fellowship or a gathering of believers, a church, and they're praying to Mother Earth or some other kind of heretical, blasphemous thing, you need to get out of that church. I'm just going to be very, very clear. You just need to leave that church, get out of that church. And you need to find a good Bible-believing teaching church. So please do that. But the importance of pressing the truth against the globalist lies can't be understated. We're in a very precarious situation here in America. I think we're really on a precipice. There's an opportunity to turn back from this, but it's becoming very dangerous, isn't it?
Yes, very dangerous. When your individual rights given to you by God are now in the form of government allowing the government to tell us what we can and cannot do, it gets very dangerous.
Yeah.
And I, when I was in Paris, I asked one of the scientists, Dr. Yvonne Marco from Belgium, brilliant speaker, brilliant guy. In my interview with him, he said, right now, Debbie, there are technocrats in the EU, in the European Union, right this very second, figuring out how much protein you should eat in a week. And I said, whoa, was a cattle rancher's daughter? And he said, yes.
Wow.
But it's not meat from an animal. It's meat. It's not protein from an animal. It's protein from an insect.
What?
They are trying to create insect flour right now. Because
wow.
Livestock, according to them, methane, right?
Yep.
In fact, in this global conference, I just heard Eric Schmidt, who used to be my boss at Google, I just heard Eric Schmidt say that livestock cows are too, even though they're cute, they are too harsh on the environment and they're causing global warming.
Oh my heavens.
So yeah, this is very dangerous.
Wow.
This is very dangerous. And Daniel Webster said, oh my gosh. If all my possessions were taken from me with one exception, I would choose to keep the power of communication.
Yeah.
For by it, I would soon regain all the rest.
Yes.
The First Amendment has the freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And the First Amendment sets up everything else for our rights that are to be protected under the supreme law of the land in the Constitution. If we're not using our First Amendment rights, our liberties in the First Amendment, freedom of speech, for example, if you cannot name all five right now, which one are you losing?
Yeah.
If you're not using it, you're losing it. So to go on what you're saying, you know, we must reach out to our friends, our families, and neighbors, educate, communicate, but the one thing you cannot do is hibernate.
Amen. Yeah, that's absolutely right, Debbie. That's a good encouragement to our listeners. I appreciate that. So folks can connect with you on technocracy.news, and
yes.
There they can even is there a way that they can contact and schedule you to come speak?
Absolutely. Debbie, you know, they can contact technocracy.news. Go to
yeah.
technocracy.news and contact us there and mm-hmm. and you know, request us.
Sure.
Request us. And mostly we just ask for help with travel.
Yeah.
And we would love to, technocracy.news, we would love to get to a place where we had donations coming in enough to maintain our ability to, we don't know anyone, Pastor Mike, we don't know anyone else out there who's doing what we're doing.
Right.
And covering the topics that we are covering. Hardly anyone understands technocracy.
Yeah.
Even though you can go back in history, look up technocrat and see that it was started in the early 1900s.
Yes.
And it's a philosophy of scientific dictatorship, which is what we're seeing right now with all this advanced technology and the fear that comes with advanced technology and the power of a greedy person.
Yes.
And what that greedy person is, would, and is doing to the population, which we are seeing right now with the usurpation of our ranches and our farms. The EPA is charging a small family in Wyoming. It was something like $21 million, $37,500 a day for putting in a stock pond. You can look up Andy Johnson, a stock pond that the state of Wyoming approved. And then the federal government comes in and says under the Clean Water Act, what? You can't have a stock pond on your own land or collecting rainwater. People are being charged and jailed for collecting rainwater on your own private property. Based on what? Based on this scientific dictatorship that we are causing global warming. And remember, in the 2030 agenda, by the year 2020, restore and protect all water-related ecosystems.
It's insanity.
It's insanity.
How have we got to a place where a person does not have the freedom on their own land to do as they wish?
That's... Because we are living in a democracy now. It's
mob
rule.
It's
we do not understand our history. We do not understand the Bible. And because we are uneducated in those two forms, I mean, even if you know the Bible well, my guess is most people don't understand Agenda 21, the 2030 agenda, or technocracy. My guess is they only have bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
But Daniel Webster also said, give them the means for detecting the wrong, and they will apply the remedy. Give them the means for detecting the wrong, and they will apply the remedy. He also said, keep them intelligent, and they will be vigilant. Yeah. In other words, in my opinion, Pastor Mike, it all gets down to education. You can never, ever, ever have enough information. Yeah. And
that's right.
With all the misinformation that we're getting from sources like Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and, you know, all these different newspapers and outlets, and we're being misinformed.
We are.
And I task people who say, yeah, we are overpopulated. And I task someone to fly from San Francisco to New York at night and see how dark the United States is.
Yeah.
See how little there is on lights below.
Yeah. And I think this is accurate, but if one of my listeners, discovers that it isn't, email me and let me know. But I read somewhere where if we gave everyone a standard lot of land to build a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home on, just a basic standard, you know, 150 by 300 foot lot, that you could put the entire population of the United States in the state of Texas.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty accurate. And so,
and at the very least, I mean, I've heard that you can fit the world's population in the state of Texas, and they wouldn't even be standing shoulder to shoulder. I've heard that too.
Yes, yes. So that tells us right there, if that is true, and I believe that it is, that all of this hysteria about overpopulation is nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the Club of Rome. You know, they used that scare tactic that by early in the 21st century, that there would be catastrophic deaths based on how we were, quote, you know, not quote unquote, but how we were supposedly abusing the land.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, Debbie, I am fired up now, and am going to make it a point tomorrow to bring up a conversation with someone about the climate change hoax, what's going on with Agenda 21 and 2030 Agenda. And I hope our listeners will do the same thing. So if you'd like to contact Debbie, do that through Technocracy News.
Technocracy.news.
Yep, technocracy.news. And you're on Twitter. I know that because I follow you.
Yeah, I'm not very active on Twitter, but I should become more active. I'm very active on Facebook.
Facebook, there you go. So
active, and just, you know, look up Pastor Mike and you'll find me through his friends.
Yes.
And also, I forgot to mention that tonight, and I don't know when it's going to be showing next, but all across the country tonight at 7 p.m., Climate Hustle.
So he's going
to be playing. And these, I saw it when I was in Paris. It is very entertaining and it's fun. And I'm sure it's going to be coming out in DVD. I just don't know when. But hopefully people can go out and see that. You know, it used to be called Global Cooling in the 70s. And then they changed it to Global Warming in the 80s, and then they changed it to climate change.
Yeah.
So they just can't make up their mind that anything under the sun now falls under their anthropogenic global warming climate change narrative. Yeah.
You know, that would be, when it does come out on DVD, that would be a good resource for people to buy and then invite their friends or neighbors, family members that are deceived about this whole topic into their home and just view it and then answer some questions.
That's right. We need to take back the narrative, just like when we hear that we're a democracy. No, we are not. We are a constitutional republic.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
So it's our responsibility.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Debbie, I appreciate so much you spending time with me in this conversation, and we will do this again for sure.
Excellent. Thank you for having me. God bless you.
God bless you.
All your listeners, and go out there and be proud, people, because the truth matters.
Yes. Amen. It sure does.
Yeah.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, Follow us on Facebook, where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following